Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Happy Masters Week, everyone. Hopefully we're the first people to get to say that to you. Yes. The Masters kicks off this week. Personally, one of my very favorite, if not my favorite tournament of the year. How about you, Mike?
Oh, one of. I got the green jacket on. I'm donning the green all over. If you're watching this on YouTube, feeling good. Love this week, like you.
Love it. And because not only is it always such an excellent tournament at such an amazing venue, and I love the fact that golf for this week always captures the world's attention. So I feel like the sport we love is in the spotlight. But additionally, I feel like for us here in the Northeast, I feel like it signals spring, you know, kind of turning the corner.
That's a good point.
And I always feel like right around, you know, Masters Week is that when I start getting my first legitimate rounds in, the weather's finally warming up, we're getting back out there. So it's an exciting week, both from a spectator standpoint, but also just from my own personal golf game. I feel like it's just that time when my game gets to reemerge.
I know how you feel.
Out there and play. And it's the best way to kick it off, by just seeing what goes on at Augusta. Speaking of which, we've got a terrific guest today. We're going to be speaking with Aaron Dill. Aaron is Bob Vokey's right-hand man. You guys may have seen some of what he does and what he posts on social media. He's at the handle Vokey Wedge Rep.
Vokey Wedge Prep.
All right, yes. I read it wrong. So on both Twitter and on Instagram, but we've had a couple of instances to interact with Aaron. He's out there literally grinding it out.
Literally. I see what you did there.
In the Titleist Tour truck every week, going around the PGA Tour. We've caught up with him. We saw him at the PGA show, but Mike, you got to see him in the truck.
Really cool. And you probably saw this video. It's on our channel. It was the inside look at the Titleist Tour truck at the Northern Trust Open last summer at Ridgewood Country Club. I was literally in Aaron's little 3x3 nook in the back of the trailer and watched him grind a Tour Pro's wedge. It was cool. It was such a cool experience.
It's so cool. And then you get to see some of the fun. He has so much fun with it.
So much fun. You can just
tell when you talk to him. He's always smiling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's always having a good time. But some of the funny stuff that he's done, this is what I want to talk to him and ask him about, some of the funny custom stamping that you've seen, and some of, like, maybe if he can fill us in on some of the behind
some of the bizarre ones.
Yeah, like
some of the backstory. Sure.
Exactly. The backstories on that. So I'm excited about that. We're also, obviously, the Masters. It's the tournament that everybody chases every year. And a big part of winning it is somebody who comes in with a terrific short game. So wedges are really a huge part of that. So these guys take it very seriously that week. And that's what I want to kind of dive into and ask Aaron about as well. So we've got so much to talk to him about. Let's do this. Let's just do a quick word from our sponsor, and then we're going to bring Aaron right in on the show.
How's it sound? Let's do it.
All right, great. Guys, this episode is sponsored by ShotScope. The ShotScope V2, it's caught a lot of buzz out there recently. We're really seeing it start to take off, and for good reason. It is a terrific product. We love using it. We love seeing more and more of you using it in the Facebook group. For those of you, however, who are new to the show and haven't seen the ShotScope yet, the V2 at work, what it is it's a stat tracking and GPS system that works all in the form of one watch. You wear it out there on the course. It does everything in the background. The only interaction that you have with the watch is being able to glance down and seeing your GPS distances to greens, front, back, middle, hazards, everything like that. So you're using it as a GPS watch, but the magic is in the background. As you're playing your round, there's these little tags on your clubs. You don't need any interaction. It's going to GPS register every single shot. They've got over 40,000 courses in the system. So everywhere you play, you're going to be able to do it. They're always rolling out new and exciting updates. I love it because I can dive into my stats. There's hundreds of stats in the dashboard, well beyond stuff like green and regulation. We talk about some really granular stuff that you get in there. So you can't improve your game without knowing where you need to improve. This is one way that's going to show it. It's going to show those signals of where you need to work on your game. So check them out at shotscope.com/golficity. Also want to note that they've got a new coupon code. It's golficity V2. Make sure you use that code. You're going to get the best possible price. These guys have done some unbelievably killer prices for this. I mean, for it to be a stats tracking program, and it's a GPS watch, and you get it for the price that's less than most just GPS watches. It's tremendous. So check it out. And when you're in there, Join the Golficity leaderboard. We've got over 150 people on the leaderboard now already. Get in there, hop in there, have fun with it like we do week after week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you reminded me the day before we played, you're like, don't forget to charge up your V2. So
can't leave home without it.
Can't leave home without it. But yeah, excellent stuff. And lastly, just want to thank our sponsor, Titleist. Vokey Design SM7 Wedges. They're designed by master craftsman Bob Vokey to improve your wedge game. Frank and I made the switch last summer. We're loving them. We're dialed in right now with the wedges. We're feeling good. The SM7 innovations provide the best performance in distance control, shot versatility, and maximum spin. I'm seeing a lot of spin right now. I'm loving it. The best way to experience SM7 wedges is to hit each grind side by side during a wedge fitting. I love this. And we're going to talk about this, the different grinds with Aaron when we bring him on. We're going to talk about how a geographical change can affect club bounce, things like that. You know, especially with the Masters this week when millions of dollars in the green jackets on the line, like you said, you know, these guys, they want to get it right. So you could find the nearest fitting location. Just go to Vokey.com, V-O-K-E-Y. Vokey.com, or you can use online wedge selector tool, which is a great tool they have on their site. You can find the right loft, bounce, and the grind that fits you best just based on a few questions. Check it out. Time to upgrade your wedges this season, guys. I'm feeling that backspin. It looks good out there. It feels good out there. You know, I'm pulling it back on a string. It's a great feeling. Hopefully it leads to good scores.
Nothing feels better than that, you know, when you just land it and stick it. So, all right, speaking of which, there's going to be a lot of guys working on that this week at Augusta. Let's bring Aaron Dill on the line and let's talk to him a little bit about how they're prepping and what's going to be going down there at Augusta.
All right. I'd like to welcome Aaron Dill to the Golf Podcast. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, I appreciate you coming on. And you know, I want you to state your specific title. I have you down as Bob Vokey's right-hand man, but I'm sure that's not on your business card. So what is the title that you that you're rocking these days?
Well, I have many titles. One could be Bob's personal assistant, his coffee maker, and hotel travel planner.
There you go.
But on my business card, it says Director of Wedge Relations.
Excellent. So you're the guy. I call you the guy behind the guy behind the guy. You're prepping the tour pros, their wedges, getting them game ready for some of the biggest tournaments, if not all of them. Right? You're pretty much on the road every week.
Yeah, every week I travel. I do about 40 tour events a year, so the schedule's pretty full. I'll skip the ones where no van can be had, so I'll skip, you know, Puerto Rico, Cancun, Mexico City. But the rest of them where a van is at, I'll definitely attend those and work with the guys there.
So that van is your second home, huh?
It's pretty much my first home. I spend more time in there than I do in my own house. But it's great. You know, it's one of those great jobs that you know, a very select few of us are fortunate to have, and to be able to have the resources in the trailer that we do have just makes my job that much better.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it firsthand. I mean, you and I, we met at the Northern Trust Open last summer in Ridgewood. You gave me the tour. You and Pete gave me the tour, and I was in your, I called it, before you came on, I called it this 3x3 nook that you have back there where you were grinding those wedges. Just tell our audience, what is it like working with such a superior product like a Vokey wedge and right alongside Bob Vokey himself?
You know, honestly, it makes my job pretty easy. You know, Bob has done an amazing job over the last two decades, kind of paving this road that I'm walking on today. So to be able to have that credibility be associated with the Vokey name makes it easy for me to get out there and get more products in play. But, you know, Bob is just such a great guy. You know, for a lot of people who haven't met him, for the people who have met him, he's just like you and me. He's a great guy, very kind, very humble. It's hard to find people like that in the industry that are as successful as he is, that are willing to give you the time that he gives to everybody, regardless of who you are. So, you know, to go out every week and rep his product and support Titleist is a dream come true. And it's always really easy. You know, the only hard part for me is just keeping up with the demand.
Yeah,
I would imagine. And I'd like to, you know, we had the honor of having Bob on the podcast and echo all the same things. It's just, he's an amazing person to speak with, but I'd like to find out a little bit more about yourself. So how did you get your start working in golf equipment, and ultimately how did it lead to working with Vokey?
Yeah. So I grew up playing golf, with my dad. My dad used to take me out. He was an avid golfer, and you know, like most parents do, they take their kids out and they sit in the golf cart and the kids eat snacks and, right. You know, that's how it started for me too. You know, I'd eat sunflower seeds and watch my dad play and we would bond over that. And that was a great memory for me and, something that I do with my kids today. But when I was going through school, it was either golf or it was culinary arts. I loved working in restaurants. I loved cooking and the kitchen scene. But I also loved golf. And it was one of those tough things I had to toss up in the air and decide, like, what's it going to be for a career for me? Am I going to focus on what I love with golf or with cooking? And golf was one of those things I just wanted to do. So went to a golf school in San Diego. And when I got out of there, I was doing a bunch of different jobs. I was working in retail, working at the club level, and just kind of getting my feel in all these different avenues you could take in this industry. And I just loved equipment. It was the coolest way for you to connect with the individual, with the player, and to make the biggest difference, in my opinion, because everybody wants to just play better golf. And when you can give them a golf club that does that, or you give them an opportunity that does that, then the game is much more enjoyable. And that's a memory that you make with that person. And so when I was doing that, guys here at the office, Steve Pelisak, he had called me. He got my phone number from a friend, and he called me up and he said, "Hey, we've got this really cool job called the Fitting Works program, where we're going to build a mobile tour van, and that tour van is going to go up and down the West Coast, and it's going to fit at the best clubs in California, Nevada, Arizona, and you're going to make clubs there on site like you would at a tour event." And I was like, "Wow, that's a really cool job." And I had club building experience and fitting experience, and they were just looking for somebody who could do that part, but also become a truck driver. So I remember I interviewed a couple days with Steve, and then Steve said, "Hey, great. You know what? We decided that we'd like to bring you on board and have you part of the family, but now you got to go to truck driving school." So I was a truck driver.
Something you probably never thought you would have to do, right?
Yeah, it was so funny. You know, I'd meet all these people on the road, and they'd be like, "What do you do?" And I'd just be like, "Oh, I'm a truck driver." It's like, that's not very cool. But during the couple of years that I did that job, I really got to meet Bob Vokey, deeper than I ever thought I could. You know, when I was working in retail, you'd see his products on the shelf and you'd be like, "Wow, that's really great stuff. It's beautiful. It's functional. Everybody wants it. It was the best product out there." To be able to say, "Hey, now I get to meet this guy in person and learn from him," was such like a cool thing. And Bob made the mistake of being very gracious with his time from early stages. And I just took advantage of that nonstop. I would be in his office all the time, picking his brain, asking him questions, showing him what I was doing, asking him what he thought. And he was great. He would say, "Hey, fix this, fix that. This is terrible. This is good." And over that time, we became good friends, became more than just coworkers, and me being, me using him as a mentor, but we became close friends. And then the 2 years into that program, he asked me if I'd come work for him on tour. And here we are 12 years later, killing it out there on the PGA Tour, just giving away all of his wedges.
that's awesome. So let's talk about that for a moment. You talked about possibly up to 40 events that you're doing. So what does that look like on a week to week basis? Like how long, like what days are you in and out, and what are you doing with the clubs and for the players on a weekly basis?
Yeah. So over the years, you learn about golf courses, grass styles, soil types, and you can use those to your advantage. It's something we do from week to week. The schedules really don't change and the venues don't change a lot, but you get a good sense of what you're going to be coming into the week prior. But, basically what ends up happening is we get into the city Sunday night. Monday morning, we start our work week. We work all day Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And that's basically those 3 days are a chance for us to see who's in the field and connect with as many people as you can over those 3 days, just checking in. How are things? How are your grooves? What's the golf course like? Are the bunkers heavily sanded? Are they lightly sanded? You ask a lot of questions on Monday so that Tuesday when you get out, you have a great understanding of what the golf course setup is like. And then you can start diagnosing issues. Sometimes when you go from the West Coast to the East Coast, grass changes and soils change. And so it's important that we keep up with the demand of bounce change. Bounce change can also happen when you've got coach changes, you've got technique changes. But basically every day is a chance for us to connect with these guys, make sure they're comfortable and that they have the wedges that they need to play their best golf.
Gotcha. And then as we are when this episode drops, it's going to be the week of the Masters. So I would imagine that that tournament obviously carries a little bit more weight than some of the other ones on the schedule. So is there anything that's done differently when you're in Augusta? Is there anything for you personally that does it mean a little bit more to you? Is there something different you do for the players? How significant really is that week?
Well, it's arguably one of the most important weeks to the professional golfer. It is the one major of the year that everybody would love to have. But it's cool. You know, the Masters, if you've never been, is a very unique event. It's not like anything else. There's a vibe associated with that golf course, with the tournament, with the history. And even for guys like me who've been going there for years and tour players who've been going there for years, they're as giddy as they were the first time, the 20th time. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to watch that energy in these guys. Cause every week, you know, these guys are under a lot of pressure. They've got a lot of media things they have to do, family stuff, and so on. And the Masters, they just show up like happy little guys, you know, just running around, big smiles on the faces. So, you know, for us, it's a bit of a challenging work week because we don't have access to the golf course like we would at a Hilton Head or a San Antonio, where we can just kind of do what we need to do. You know, we have to be very careful of the rules. We have to actually get in touch with the tour players and say, hey, if we're going to do work this week or you need help this week, we're going to have to find a place to meet and get the work done together, because we're not allowed to just roam around as easily as we would anywhere else. But we kind of know going into Augusta that it's going to be firm and fast. That's historically the way it is. They've got sub air, so if they do encounter any moisture or rain, that they can dry the golf course out pretty quick. So preparation is probably done a month ahead of that. We'll get together with our players. We'll start talking about it, saying, hey, what's in your bag? How do you feel about what you have? Have you had a chance to go to the golf course and you know, get a feel for the conditions? And then we start working around that. So we'll start talking with Justin and Jordan and Jimmy and Ian and Adam and talking to all these guys and saying, hey, is there anything that we can prepare ahead of time? And even if they say no, I typically will kind of go ahead of that and get it done. So I've had a chance to talk to a handful of guys already, which we're preparing product for now. I'll get that stuff done today, tomorrow, and Friday. And then next week, I'll come back and I'll tackle the rest and we'll be ready to go.
You know, speaking of, you know, some of the names you dropped them, I'm sure we know who those names are, and we watch these guys week in and week out. I want to talk about stamping. I know you're big with stamping these wedges, putting some cool things on the wedges, phrases, superstitions, whatever it is. Tell us a little bit about that, some stories about that. And do you change things up for Masters weeks? Do you go green writing? Do you just do things on your own sometimes and surprise guys? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, first of all, we make sure that the parts are right. So we'll have some lower bounce options available for the guys. These guys have been testing for a little while before the event, but the stamping part's the fun part. And it's a great place for us to do something different, to tell a story. And for the most part, over the years, I've gotten to know these guys well enough where they just say, hey, surprise me. and I'll give you a great example. So Jimmy Walker reached out 2 weeks ago and he's like, hey, thinking about the Masters, thinking about getting some fresh grooves, think we can do it? And I said, yeah. And so he goes, great, just to send him to the house. And I go, whoa, 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 wait a second. What are we going to stamp on these things? And he'll just go, surprise me. Yeah. So, you know, that's one of those great moments where there's a little bit of pressure.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, I can just kind of creatively go about my business and have some fun. We do all kinds of fun stuff, but we have to be very very respectful of the Augusta National rules. We got to be careful about what we stamp. We can't just put the logo on there. We can't do too much green, you know, or anything like that. So we try and do it respectfully, but we do want to tell a cool story. We've got some fun stuff we're working on now. You guys will see it on Instagram and on Twitter and our Titleist website. But this is fun. You know, it's a great chance for me to just kind of sit around and drop some ideas and present these guys with some cool stuff that I hope will inspire them to play great golf.
That's so cool. So how much do we have to tip you to sneak in there? Frank and Mike say hi on his wedge. But in all seriousness, talking about, you said there's a little bit differences you make as far as grind week to week. Can you talk about that? And can you talk about that even more so from a layman's standpoint? Because I know there's a lot of us amateurs who don't know a whole lot about what goes into the differences in grind, so we don't get to take advantage of that. I want to ask you about that too, but from the pro standpoint, what are some of the differences that you make on a week to week, or using the Masters as an example?
Yeah, so there are some simple things that we focus on. We know that the golf course is going to be firm. If you have too much bounce, bounce is going to bounce into the ball, and it's going to be difficult for guys to create lift. So, you know, that's one of the things that we know about this golf course is the way these greens are put together. There's a lot of shape and undulation, and it's important that these guys can throw it up in the air and create stopping power to get it close to the hole. This is a tough place to putt on, so getting it close is obviously the most important thing. And so when we're thinking about that, we're thinking about bunker structuring. How much sand? Is it going to be cut tight? Is it going to be dry? And typically it is. And so with that being said, you know, we'll look at changing bounce angles. Some guys are going to change, like Ian Poulter and I, we talked yesterday about finding a 60 degree that complements the bunker style there, and just trying to help create some more lift. So we're working on a wedge, you know, specifically for that, that he'll use the 1 week and then go back to his old faithful 6004L. Jimmy's got a 64 that he's been tinkering with. Mm-hmm. He loves it. We're going to do something special with that. We've got a couple other guys that are testing 62s and 64s. And it's really just about trying to find, you know, that perfect wedge that complements that week, that golf course, those conditions. It's probably something that will only be used the 1 week. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to Old Faithful. You know, Augusta's one of those great places that kind of stands alone, and we want to build something that complements that golf course.
Gotcha. So for that week, that makes a lot of sense. But generally speaking, these guys are not changing their entire wedge setup every single week. They've got some that they're carrying over from course to course.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we usually say, It's the one short game wedge in your bag that you use the majority of the time. That's the one that changes the most. So we'll use examples of Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. Those two guys will likely not change a single thing. They will play the same four golf clubs that they played last week, the week before, and so on. We'll probably give him a fresh 60 to make sure that he has some spin and stopping power, but the models likely will not change.
Mm, okay. That makes a lot of sense. It's something that they're used to. So when you do that, when you say fresh, are you giving them a fresh club, or are you just freshening it up by regrinding, regrooving? But the physical club is the same, or how's that work? Are you able to like kind of liven the club up a bit?
Yeah, no, we won't change anything about it. So, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, they play the same 60 degree regardless of where they go. Although I will say this, Jordan has recently switched into our SM760T. And so he'll be bringing that with him to Augusta. Again, a very low bounce option. Where Justin Thomas, he'll go into his regular K and he'll play that. When we say freshen things up, we don't actually regroove golf clubs here. When we do that, you lose a lot of swing weight because you have to lighten the head and the polishing, but you also make the grooves non-conforming. So we will actually physically make brand new wedges for these guys to make sure that they have enough bite on the golf ball.
Had never even thought about that, about how you're losing the weight by just regrooving it. So from an amateur standpoint, what can we learn from this as far as sometimes it feels like there's so many options. There's so many different grinds out there. There's so many different lofts. What's a good way for, you know, maybe even newer golfers to start to understand wedges and to make sure they're playing the right thing? Because I feel like you see how many variables that go into it. You're talking about different courses and the different climates and stuff like that. And yet sometimes we'll just go in and we'll go in a pro shop and we'll just grab a wedge because we just know we need a 60, but there's so much more that goes into it. We could be working against ourselves. So what do we do or how can we kind of educate a little bit more from an amateur standpoint of ways we can take advantage of the different wedges and the different grinds and the that type of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think when you talk to players at our level or tour players even, I have these situations all the time. I'll ask a tour player, why are you playing this wedge? And the answer he gives me is just funny because he goes, I don't know. It's just what I've always played. And I have to tell him that's the wrong answer, you know? And
even at that level, wow.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's not the right answer. There needs to be a reason why. So I always tell people when you're going into a shop and you're going in to make a purchase, before you make that purchase, before you invest in this golf club, make sure you're investing in something that's going to help you, not hurt you. If you have a chance to go out and test all 23 of our models, or however many you want to hit based on the lofts you choose, we highly recommend it. You know, Mr. Vokey, he makes 23 SKUs because he wants you to have options and variety. We think that that's really important. So I always tell guys, hey, go find a place on grass that has all these models and test them and try them and get to know them. And you might surprise yourself that what you thought was good for you probably isn't. Mm. We try and tell guys to blindly fit themselves or get fit by somebody. You know, don't get caught up in the grinds or the bounces, because we all have egos. We're golfers. I got to have the low bounce so I can hit flop shots all day. You know, the reality is we probably need more bounce than we think we do. Think about your golf courses. Are they firm? Are they soft? Think about your mistakes. You know, I like to tell tour players even, hey, think about your mistakes before you think about the crazy shots you want to hit. If you can make your mistakes better, you're going to have lower scores because your misses are smaller. So that's a really cool thing. And then the last thing I always tell guys is when you go in and you build your matrix, build it with purpose. Understand why you need it. Do you need a 50 or a 52? Do you need more bounce in your sand wedge or less bounce? You know, and give yourself a high bounce option and a low bounce option so you can cover all those bases in between. Because some guys just go, hey, I want low bounce everything and I want high bounce everything. And when you do that, you limit yourself and your shot capabilities. And we want to see guys have as many shots possible with the wedges they have in their bag. So go get fit, try all the products, and build a game plan before you make an investment.
It's such good advice. And we did our fitting, our Vokey fitting, just last August. And it was comforting to having someone there who could kind of guide us through it. We had worked with Kevin Sprecher and him just kind of giving us an idea and asking those questions, where we're going to be playing, what types of course we're playing. It was all very interesting. But I really like what you said there. So many times we think we're buying new clubs because we're looking for something to give us an edge up, but we don't realize that sometimes if we buy the wrong thing, it could be taking that step backwards. So I think that was such an important thing, you know, point to drive home. Mike, what other questions did you have for
you know, Aaron? I was just going to say, while you guys were talking, I physically just went back to Vokey.com and took the wedge selector tool 8-question test.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, and I love that it asks you, are you at, like, what kind of divot do you take, Aaron? And I went immediately right to digger, because I take, you know, those big, steep, thick divots out. And, you know, my wedges, you know, the grinds that spit out or match the ones I have. So it shows our fitting was pretty darn good.
Yeah. We've had a couple of times, I think we sprung water from some of Mike's divots. Mike has a way of cutting deep into the ground.
Yeah. I remember Mike talking about this in the van last time I saw him, and I was like, you need more bounce, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. He's some legendary divots. But you did see that improvement when we changed your bounce a little bit with Kevin Sprecher and we had the fitting.
Yeah, I did.
Because there was times when it was actually working, in Mike's example, it was working against him. I've had a similar type of thing where there were some clubs that, because we had the wrong bounce, we weren't able to use them on very tight lies. So for instance, in this, a 60 was digging way too much, and it was just eliminating it as an option from the fairway. And now by putting the correct bounce in there and being able to use that, it becomes another weapon in the bag, so to speak.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I never knew anything about grinds, anything about bounce. I didn't know anything. And a lot of amateurs out there still don't know anything. So I urge you, just take this 8-question test. I know you would agree, Aaron. It's probably the best way to start if you're an amateur. But yeah, I guess the ultimate answer is go get a fitting and figure out what's appropriate for you. I want to let you get back to your busy, master's prep, because I know there's a lot of guys out there that are going to be, relying on you for, you know, precision this week. So, but I want to ask you a couple more things, because some questions have come in, from some of our listeners here. And so someone asked, what would you do as an amateur, you know, in about the 17-18 handicap? He threw his handicap in there. How often are they supposed to be replacing their wedges? Do you go by number of rounds played with wedges, years? What's the formula?
Well, on tour, I'll give you an idea. So on tour, we have a 1-2-3-4 system. And basically what that means is, if we'll use Jordan Spieth as an example, he plays a 46-52-56-60. So he will go through 1-46 a year, 2-52s a year, 3-56s a year, and between 4 and 8-60s a year. And the reason being is that The less lofted wedges, so like 46 or 52, because those are less lofted and they're more direct on a golf ball, you impart good quality ball speed and spin on those more often because they're not as glancing as a 60 degree that would be kind of sliding up the face. And so we see this spin decay thing happen often. And we try and tell guys there are a handful of things you want to look for. You want to look at, is your ball flight higher than you normally would see it? Are you seeing your carry numbers erratic, so long and short occasionally? And are you seeing less bite when the ball touches down? So those are three things we try and share with guys, and they keep their eyes open to those sorts of things. So we have this rule of the system on the tour that we use to kind of get an idea. And but for amateurs, you know, in that 15 to 20 handicap range, I would probably say there are a couple of things that they're going to want to do. They're going to want to have probably less wedges than a tour player normally would, because their ball speeds are probably going to be a little bit slower. They're going to want to have less loft. I would tell most guys at that level, you know, probably wouldn't exceed 56 degrees in your loft, because as you do that, you're going to start to see a diminishing return on poor shots. So 56 degree is usually a great place for guys to stop. And then again, pay attention. You know, are you seeing less bite? We have a 75. We ran a test that showed that 75 rounds plus practice on your highest lofted wedge usually shows signs that it might be time. There's some fatigue in that golf club. But I try and tell guys, hey, pay attention to what the ball tells you. The ball never lies. And just pay attention to the things that you need and make those adjustments when you need to.
Yeah, that's excellent stuff. Thank you for that. Mark asks, this is a funny one, Aaron, how's your wedge game? you don't have to answer.
Great question. I don't know yet. I haven't played around yet this year, so
I'm sure you don't get out as much as you'd like.
I was going to say it's got to be a tease visiting all these courses for a couple days a week every week. I mean, do you get to get out there much? Sneak out around every now and then.
You know, it's tough. So when I'm on the road, I'm pretty busy till 5 p.m. And then, you know, with daylight savings now, we're able to, if we want to sneak out for nine holes. We got to do it quickly because, you know, we're running out of time. But occasionally we might sneak out for nine. But when I'm home, I've got three sons at home and I've got a job to do. And those things definitely are more important than playing golf. I get out when I can. But for the most part, my game's pretty boring. It's real straight. It's not very long. You know, I'll shoot right around, you know, 72, 76, somewhere in there. It's pretty boring, but you know, I've learned to love the game in a different way. I learned to love golf in a different way than I used to. You know, when I used to play golf, it was, I always made it bigger than it was. It was more competitive than it needed to be. And, and I learned that golf's a great way for you to get outside, view people that you like and, enjoy that free time in that moment. And so that's what it's for me now. And when I get out, it's great. And when I don't, it's okay too.
I love that. There's more than one way to love this game. That's excellent. Any other questions from the listeners?
There was one other about, you talked about on tour, 40 events a year. I mean, you just mentioned you got three kids at home. Do you get to bring them out on any events or anything over the summertime?
You know, they're still little. Okay. My oldest is 11. He'll be the first one to kind of come out to a couple of tour events and just hang with me. And I mean, all three of my boys love golf. My 11-year-old's a Jordan Spieth fan, and so he's like, "Dad, you got to get me out. I got to meet this guy."
Do they get starstruck? The kids.
What's that?
Do they get starstruck when meeting guys like Jordan and Justin? The kids.
Oh yeah.
That's cool.
They're crazy. So you know, occasionally. Here's a great Justin Thomas story. This is how wonderful of a guy Justin Thomas is. When Justin Thomas won his first PGA, his first major, a couple weeks later, he came by the van. He said, "Hey, I want to have a meeting with all you guys." And of course, when people say we want to have a meeting, you usually assume that you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're right. In trouble. So, right. Yep.
it's kind of like when your spouse says we need to talk.
Yes, you know, it's exactly.
Kind of a scary moment. So he comes out to the van, and in his hand, he had a stack of signed personalized flags, and he gave each of us one. And it was a touching moment. And I remember bringing that flag home and showing it to my son at the time. And he was just starstruck without even meeting the guy. He was like, "Oh my gosh, that's so cool."
Wow.
So yeah, my boys love the game, and as they get bigger, I want to bring them out as much as I can, but they have school and they have sports and they have other responsibilities. So that stuff's got to come first.
For sure.
Yeah, I love that. I love hearing stories like that, and it's just one more way to say to love the game because of the people that are in it. So, really great stuff, Aaron. Again, we appreciate you taking the time because I know this is kind of really going to start getting into your busiest time of year, especially with the Masters. But it's been really great and enlightening talking to you and getting to chat a little bit about this. So we appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks. Let's do it again soon. This is great.
We definitely will. And maybe at the couple of the events when you swing by the Northeast, maybe we'll catch you in the truck again.
Yeah, we're coming back out that way later this year. We'd love to have you guys out.
Yeah, can't wait. Looking forward to seeing you again, Aaron.
Definitely do that. All right, great talking to you. And
all right, thanks, guys.
We'll speak with you soon. All right, Aaron is always a fun guy to chat with.
Great guy.
Just, you know, I think in a lot of ways he kind of is following in Bob Volke's footsteps, you know, from a professional standpoint and what he does, but also from a personality standpoint. I think the two of them are some of the best personalities and just the best people in the equipment game. You can tell how much he loves what he does and it's just like both of them, whether it be at the PGA show when we ran into them there, yeah, or as you did in the truck, always has the time. I mean, you hear his schedule. Look, there's a lot of people relying on him. You know, there's a lot of money and pressure and prestige on the line, especially for Masters Week. And he's got a lot of work to do to get those clubs ready to go. I mean, this is no small responsibility. And yet he'll do things like this and take the time to speak with us. Or I just feel like it doesn't matter who you are, you know, he'll stop and just chat with you. And I love that about speaking with Aaron. And that's why I'm so glad we got a chance to actually bring him on the show today.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't met one person from Titleist who is not a nice person. I mean, yeah, they're all just great personalities.
A great culture going on,
yeah,
over there.
Big time. And the passion and the fire that they bring to their product. It's just so good. You know, and proof is right here in Aaron. I mean, the guy is excited. He's happy week in, week out, 40 weeks on tour, you know, grinding it out. So, you know, he obviously loves what he does and he puts a lot behind it. And I witnessed it firsthand. I can't wait for you to get in that van and see, yeah, Aaron in action because you're, yeah, going to love it.
I know.
You know,
I can't wait. You really geek out sometimes when you see all the equipment and things that they've got going in there. But look, it's always great to hear what's happening at the highest level. But it's also, it's important to learn the takeaways that we can learn and bring kind of to our own game. And I think this is one thing is just by realizing the amount of weight that the pros put on those wedges, and the amount of attention that they give to it, whether it be how Aaron talked about how it's thought out, like which wedges go in the bag, why they're playing those wedges, the condition of the wedges. While I don't think your weekend hackers per se need to go into it with that much, you know, like we're not changing our wedge out 8 times a year like Jordan Spieth.
Right.
But there's still something to learn. It's not an area of your game in any way you want to neglect. When we recently had the chance to talk with Kevin Sprecher about that fitting question, and we're going to be talking to some other club fitters on this too, like what's the order of priority? Wedges were very high on his list of getting fit for them because it's not only making yourself better, but it's also making sure you're not making yourself worse by making poor equipment decisions.
Right.
And poor equipment decisions, I would call almost, you know, uneducated equipment decisions. By just going and just buying something because you feel like it's the right thing for your game, but you haven't really put a lot of thought into it. And it's also not a wise purchase. These things aren't cheap. You know, a good wedge, whereas I think it's a good investment to go with a good wedge.
Sure.
They're not cheap. You know, some of these things could run $150, $200, $250. So why would you not take a little bit more time and make sure it's the right thing? If you have an opportunity to do a fitting, if you have an opportunity to do some demo, especially as he said on grass, because it's going to make a difference versus a mat, do it. It's going to help your game. You're going to see that improvement. And if you're someone who already has some great wedges in the bag, it's not a bad idea to keep up on the idea of the life of them and checking in with them. As Aaron said, ball flight doesn't lie. Ball performance doesn't lie. If you start to see you're not getting the same flight, you're not getting the same spin, it's not checking the way it was or whatever it may be, then it might be time to take a look and see. We're going to be doing more of that this summer. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into our wedges and the life of our wedges. Well, in fact, by August, we'll have had our new, you know, our Volke SM7s for about a year.
Right.
We'll have put a decent amount of rounds mm-hmm. under our belt with them. So we'll see what's the difference. What's the status of them there? And we'll report back to you guys. So we want to see how that progresses because we're learning it too as we go. So That's everything we have. Mike, anything else you want to do to cap off Masters week?
Yeah, I want to ask you, who's your pick this week?
Ooh, good question. Right now, I want to lean towards Rory because of his performance and because I know how hungry he is.
This is the one that's
missing.
To the point
that we've even seen him change his schedule to play more in the States this year, earlier in the season, because he's really gearing up for it. But there's other factors. Dustin Johnson with his firepower. We obviously Rory has a lot of firepower. We've seen distance being a winner there. Look at Bubba, Bubba Watson. I feel like if out of nowhere, you know, if DJ just starts firing on all cylinders, he's going to be somebody who's incredibly hard to beat.
Yes.
And then I think there's always this kind of like, there's going to be a lot of dark horses. There's going to be a lot of guys who, if their putting clicks that week, are going to be hard to beat. You know, I think Jordan Spieth is always going to be a contender. Oh, no. Who's he got? Who's he got?
This is my dark horse right here.
The juice.
Francesco Molinari. Molinari. I'm going to say it right now.
Listen, short game wise, it's pound for pound. There's a harder person, hard to beat him.
Yeah.
And the power, we saw his dramatic improvements in power this season. So speaking to that, there's just so many ways it can go. And that's what's so exciting about golf in general for me right now. There isn't just one standout dominant. Dude, for all we know, we could see Tiger win another jacket.
We could. We totally could.
You know, the way
anybody
he's playing
can win and this one.
His competitiveness.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun
and his experience. You just can't count it out. There's just so much that could happen. Justin Thomas has been hanging in there week after week. I think it's going to come down to which one of these guys, you know, flat stick catches fire.
Love
honestly.
It.
I think if they got the distance and their flat stick catches fire, recipe for a green jacket right
Agreed.
There. Not quite as dapper as your dapper green as jacket.
One, right? Come on.
Print one of your own today.
Yeah. You know?
So anyway, so great stuff. Guys, let us know what you think about Masters Week. Let us know what you think about the interview by posting your comments in the Facebook group. You can tweet at us. You can, you know, DM us. You can email us at podcast@golfficity.com. We always love hearing from you guys. Check out the Facebook group. Hop in there. Join the conversation. Big thanks again to Aaron Dill for taking the time to speak with us. And we really do hope to get a chance to check in with him again in person when the tour rolls around the Northeast and he brings his truck up our way. We're going to see if we can see him. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see everybody again next week.